Today is Wednesday, May the 14th, 137th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, not having to run for office this time around, Mark Lovelace.
And thankful for that.
Yeah,
let me tell you. Thankful
I noticed,
for that.
Yeah, the sandals kind of reflect that too.
Yeah,
you're not running anywhere right now.
Yeah. Get to be casual this year.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. What a relief it is. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the different challenges there is to funding public safety. There's certainly been an awful lot of discussion and focus during the political campaign season, but also prior to that with some of the activities that have been going on in the area, more than just Father Fried, but lots of stuff. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about funding. How do you get there? What does there look like? And what is the supervisor's role in that function? And we'll do that when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Reinhold.
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the Reinhold.
I'm sure
part.
You got it right.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm all over it. Quote: "Man's capacity for justice makes democracy possible. But man's inclination to injustice makes democracy necessary." How cool is that, huh? Gee. And how timely, being in the election cycle. Yeah.
There you go.
Got to fill in all the blanks for some folks sometimes.
Connect the dots.
Yeah.
That's what you're here for, right?
I'm the grand dot connector. And those that don't get connected, I just eat. Do you like dots?
Dots?
Yeah, the candy.
Skittles? Dots.
Dots, yeah.
I don't know a candy called dots.
Really?
No.
Oh, man, you
got to
break down. No. Skittles are... No, dots are kind of like a licorice-y, but they're kind of like a mountain shape.
Oh, okay.
With different colors, different flavors, yeah.
Yeah, I think
no,
I know.
No black licorice allowed in that box, so.
Okay. I think I know the ones you're talking. Okay.
Right, well, break
not,
down.
Not my go-to candy. How's that?
But apparently Skittles are, huh?
No, just it's the one that comes to mind.
Oh.
So, I'm not sure what my go-to candy would be.
I'm not sure.
So, I'm not sure I have one.
I mean, the dots are cool, except they get in your teeth.
Chocolate chip cookies, but they don't really qualify as candy. That's cookies, so.
No, that's a staple. That's not a cookie.
And this is the really important stuff that you wanted to make the show all about, isn't it? So.
Well, when there's a pile of cookies in front of the dais and somebody's watching or somebody's there... We'll know why. And then the big milk carton right next to it.
Yes.
Gotta be there.
It'll all be a promotion for Humboldt Creamery Milk. Yeah.
Oh, I just thought it might be fun. Public safety. It can be defined in a ton of different ways. If we wanted to, we could monkey with it. But the basic thought, I think most people think of public safety is badge. Okay, gun. Okay. And it certainly was referenced that way last week with the shooting in Southern Humboldt.
Mm-hmm.
Now we think of gun, badge, vest as part of the trio. Mm-hmm. Do the supervisors define public safety differently, though?
Well, there's, as you were just saying, there's a lot of different ways to look at public safety. And yeah, most people think of, you know, when they talk public safety, they mean they want a sheriff's deputy to show up at the door when they need it. That's what most people are thinking of as public safety. But you also have to have the ability to, if someone commits a crime to be able to hold them in the jail, the correctional facility, if need be. And you have to be able to prosecute them effectively. You have to ensure that they have their constitutional right to be represented in court. So you have to, you know, the defense attorneys are part of the public safety equation. Given that, you know, the state's inclination these days is not to just lock people up and trust that somehow putting them in jail or prison with professional criminals is going to somehow fix them. Once you do get them out, you do need to have all sorts of correctional programs through probation to try to get those folks back on a good path. And so all of the stuff after that sheriff's deputy shows up at your door or, you know, intervenes in whatever way, all of the stuff after that is part of public safety. We need to include all of that. But we also need to recognize that if we really want to improve public safety, we've got to prevent the need for a sheriff's deputy to show up at your door. We've got to look at what are the underlying causes of crime, you know, in terms of poverty and drug addiction and all these other kinds of things. And so it really
so now you've included every single department, every single county, every single state in the country.
Well, just pointing out that it's really hard to figure out exactly where to draw a line.
And you know, I would think, you know, for a lot of folks, I, when I was hearing the list starting to develop, I was thinking roads. I mean, you know, if you can't get the fire truck there, the water infrastructure. If you get there and there's no water there, there's certain things that I think are second and third level for those of us who are outside of that specific arena.
And our fire departments are a huge part of public safety. They are one of our primary first responders for so many public safety issues.
So who gets overlooked the most that you would like to see included as one of those top tiers?
Well, the it's really hard to pull out any one piece. Again, if you only focus on the back end from sheriff's deputies through the correctional system and all of that, you're not really preventing. You know, you're dissuading. You're trying to, you know, deter folks from knowing that they, you know, you've got deputies out there that might catch them and a legal system that can actually prosecute them effectively. And there's a deterrent quality to that. But the other things, you know, that assumes that people that commit crimes are stopping and making a rational decision about, you know, what's my risk factor and do I want to do this? And, you know, I don't believe most folks that are, you know, career criminals or, you know, repeat offenders are looking at this through a logical lens like that.
And so, I would concur, because I don't think there's an awful lot of risk associated with it the way that it is now. What's to decide? Yes or yes? Okay.
So we have to have that piece, but we do have to take that broad look at public safety. And like you were just pointing out, we also have to recognize that it's not just law enforcement. It's also fire protection. And it's also, you know, ambulance response and paramedic response, safe roads to make it, you know, just for all of us traveling more safely. So many things that we do, just about everything that we do is related to public safety one way or another.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, in the first segment, we were talking a little bit about the concept of public safety. It's not post-event, it's not pre-event, it's yes to them all. And I asked, what area would you like to have highlighted more that isn't being highlighted in that continuum of public safety? Because I think it doesn't matter if you're left, right, up, down, green, purple, or polka dots. Every candidate says, by golly, public safety is my top priority.
Well, one of the places that this really comes into play is when we look at how we fund public safety. And just last week, we had a discussion at the board about the possibility of a sales tax for the county to help fund public safety. We know that I don't think anyone's going to tell you that that we have adequate law enforcement coverage, you know, adequate sheriff's deputies coverage throughout the county, particularly in the rural areas. We know that we need to do better, but we need to be able to fund that. So when we look at how we do that, if we look at something like a sales tax measure, how you put that together depends upon whether you're looking at something that's for a particular need or whether you're looking at something that's for a general need. And if you're doing something that's a sales tax or a tax of whatever kind that's for a targeted purpose, this is for public safety, it's going to fund sheriff's deputies, boots on the ground in the rural areas, that kind of thing, that's a special tax that requires a two-thirds majority, which is much harder to reach. If it's a general tax, then it only requires a simple majority.
Let me paraphrase, and I can still remember the question being asked. Bonnie Neely was on the board at the time, and it was for the library. And whether or not to put a either the specific earmark tax or that. I said, okay, so you're saying trust us, strike one. Number two, we're doing such a good job. You have that kind of confidence in us to be able to do this and not be tempted to go somewhere else. How would you respond? And I kind of had a pregnant pause. So as you're looking at the two, one certainly would be more readily attainable. But you need to have that public trust that, okay, we're going to be paying for this, but you're not going to shunt it off into this program or that program. It's going to go earmarked for, and it's going to be easy for us to track that. And it's not going to be like the state with education dollars and some of the other shenanigans that have gone on. There's going to be something different here built in unofficially.
Yeah, it's always that's the difficult piece is that, yes, people are more likely to vote for something if they know exactly how the money is going to be used. But we have this much higher threshold of a two-thirds majority. If you say exactly how it's going to be used, you have to get that many more people to vote for it. Whereas if it's a general tax, and so there's, it's very.
Can you do
very
an assessment district or something along those lines, which kind of is sort of the same thing, but then you can then incorporate cities rather than just the county.
When you do an assessment district, then you have to look at the relative need in different places, and it gets very difficult to figure out how to adequately assess, especially for something like public safety, where you know it permeates the entire county.
And crosses those jurisdictional lines.
And one of the things that adds into this whole mix is that if we're looking at a sales tax measure in the unincorporated areas for the county, you know, we're basically talking like the stores and businesses in McKinleyville and
well, what side of Harrison Avenue?
Yeah, or I mean, you know, Myrtletown. Southern Humboldt, you know, down Garberville, Redway area. If we look at something in the unincorporated area, then we can do that for funding sheriff's deputies because their response is in the unincorporated areas. Though, of course, we have mutual aid all across the county. But the other aspect of it, the correctional facility and the district attorneys and, you know, parole all of that other stuff applies countywide. And so we'd be taxing folks that are, in this case, shopping in the unincorporated areas for something that benefits people both in the unincorporated areas and in the cities, but in different levels. So it gets to be a little difficult to figure out exactly the best way to do that.
So as you're looking at, and you guys, I know somebody, I don't know if it's Phil who has access to it, but I know somebody at the county, you got the laundry list of retailers, number one all the way down to, you know, the bottom. But you have that cumulative figure. If there was a, let's say, a 0.25% sales tax, because that tends to be the more common nibble that's, that's put forth, what would a 0.25% sales tax premium, presuming nobody's going to buy somewhere else, you're not going to get an economic shift because of that. What does a 0.25% represent?
In terms of how much revenue it would generate and how much
what would the
coverage
the yield be, so to speak?
We don't have that yet. That was one of the things at our discussion last week when we looked at this. The motion was to, this was the first time looking at the issue of a sales tax measure, so the direction was to ask the CAO to come back with a report outlining some of those kinds of things, how much revenue could be generated, what kind of coverage, you know, that could provide for. And also, you know, that gets you into the whole issue of the higher the sales tax increment that you look at, the less likely you are to get passage. And so it's a balancing act. And that's one of the reasons that we talked about the need to do some polling to figure out what would the community support here.
Well, and I guess one of the other challenges, and I know this is oftentimes something that's, you know what, let's take the break and then we'll come back and kick it around a little bit more. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the concept of public safety and a premium tax of some nature associated with it is always intriguing. Okay, and let's say that the numbers are there. Now, you've got this significant continuum that is in place. I know Damiano and the guys in probation, okay, that, you know, you want to talk about ugly caseloads. Okay, they got it. You got the sheriff deputies that don't have all the gear that they need. Okay, the jail and the incarceration part of it. You got the courts, ratios between DAs and public defenders, and I mean, you know, you could get $25 million a month, and I'm sure it's not going to be enough to satisfy everybody's wants and needs. Okay, so if that's a given in this equation, now you start looking at things like, let's say, a 0.5% sales tax. Okay, if you're buying those cookies referenced earlier, okay, you know, a penny or two isn't going to do you anything. You're buying a Winnebago, and let's say it's a $300,000 rig. Okay, now we multiply that, and that could be a $5,000-$6,000 difference between staying here or going up to an offsite sale, say in Del Norte County, or running over to Shasta County that doesn't have one of those. The bigger the ticket item, the more apt to move.
Yeah.
Cars, I know you have to register, so I'm using that specifically. If it's a refrigerator, you're not going to register that. So the county of origin isn't going to result in getting those dollars. How do you avoid that concern? Or is that just one of those, well, that's an acceptable risk?
I think it's something that you just have to expect, you know, that you can't figure that everybody's going to respond in the same way, and there's going to be some people who are going to benefit from that sales tax, from the increased public safety, who aren't going to want to pay their share. They'll recognize this exists to help benefit all of us here in Humboldt County, but I still am going to try to save money by going someplace else that doesn't have this. Then again, Humboldt County, you know, we don't have an additional sales tax on top of the baseline.
Right, the city, many
Arcata
most
does, Eureka does, I think Fortuna does.
Trinidad's got whatever the max is they've got.
Yeah, there's, and you know, if you want to drive south to Sonoma County, and you know, good luck. I think you're going to find the same things there. I don't think that we're going to look at, you know, I really don't see that as a significant thing. Are there exceptions? Are there some people that are going to drive the same amount of miles to, you know, go up to Oregon?
Building supplies from Home Depot. I see the trucks coming down every morning.
I mean,
that kind of stuff where it's a delivery. Yeah.
I'm sure there will be some people who will do that, but I don't think you can plan around that. You know, when we look at this, we need to recognize that this is how we fund services. You know, everyone likes to dance around the tax word, you know, and no one likes to talk about taxes. But the reality is that as government, we have two different ways of funding things. Either fees, where the end user, the person that benefits from it, pays a specific fee.
User fee.
Yeah, a user fee. Or a tax, where everyone, you know, benefits from it, and so everyone pays in. And if people want increased service, they should expect that doesn't come for free. You know, we get people talking about how government should operate more like the private sector. Ask the private sector to provide more for less. You know, you're not going to get it. And you know, it's just a reality. It's just basic economics that if people want a higher level of public safety, then it is going to come with a cost. And we'll do everything we can to try to minimize that cost, to try to make sure it's allocated as appropriately as possible to provide the maximum benefit. But if people want better roads, more public safety, better fire response, whatever, all these things have a cost associated with them.
Now, there would be an argument saying we're paying enough. It's a priority of government who gets what. What departments get funded more than others?
Then you are welcome to write down right now what you'd like us to cut. Tell me what to cut.
Send it to your supervisor.
Yeah, tell us what to cut. You know, I recall being at a town hall meeting that Mike Thompson held up here while he was still our congressman, and he was talking about the president's proposed budget at the time, and people were saying that, you know, the taxes are too high. And at the same time saying, but we want more of this, 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 and this. And so he was saying, okay, well, then tell me what to cut. And not one person in this room, this loud, angry room, not one person could identify anything to cut. So,
oh, how sad is that?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The intriguing thing for me, I think, is we talk about revenues and this and, you know, some of the things that the state is doing, mm-hmm. holding back, not holding back. Are we a net plus in the taxes we pay to the state, mm-hmm. or are we a parasite?
Yeah.
That ratio thing.
We're a net receiver.
But we seem to, you said dance around and mm-hmm. taxing the internet. I mean, that is a commercial mm-hmm. channel.
Yeah.
Early on, the argument was, well, we have to be sure that this form of commerce is protected, so we're not going to tax it. Okay, I think the protection period is probably over. It seems like it's here to stay.
Yeah.
And I think most of those who are selling through the internet and buying through mm-hmm. the internet are going to continue that way at the cost of the local businesses that used to be the retail sales tax generators mm-hmm. in the communities that would then be passing through those tax dollars mm-hmm. to the counties or to the city or whoever it might happen to be. Would it make sense, before looking at another level, is to get CSAC or whatever lobbying entity and say, you know what, guys? It's time.
Mm-hmm.
It is time. I know some states are doing that a little bit more aggressively than others. California seems to be hands-off on this one.
No, they're moving there. It's definitely...
Is it a top priority for the state to get that rolling? Because
It's the difficult thing with it. I mean, it's definitely going there. But the difficult piece is figuring out what's your basis for taxation. Is it, you know, is the point of purchase the person sitting at home clicking? Or is the point of purchase the where the server is that is making the deal? Or is the point of purchase the headquarters for the company that is, you know, managing the purchase? Or is the point of purchase the distribution center that it's going to be shipped from?
Well, now, and if you look at state tax law, mm-hmm. if you buy, let's say, that cookie bag in Oregon.
No, it's food, so it doesn't get taxed.
Okay.
So, unless you want to go back to the snack
container
tax,
that the cookies are in that you're buying separately because it's a cookie man, okay? Smart guy. Bring it into California to your home. You're supposed to declare that and voluntarily submit that mm-hmm. sales tax to
and
whoever the
everybody does. That's what's amazing is that everybody does that.
But the precedent is there. So I would think it is the individual at the keystroke. Doesn't matter where it's coming. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where it's made, mm-hmm. for that matter. Mm-hmm. Where it's shipped, how it's shipped. It's at the point mm-hmm. of residency. Because mm-hmm. that's what we do with the cars, too.
Yeah. That if you have an additional sales tax in your community,
wherever you
making
live.
That purchase.
Yeah.
And that would make the most sense in terms of competition, leveling the playing field for local merchants.
And easy to tell.
Yeah.
Because where
you're
you
gonna
are.
Know, yeah. You're going to know your tax. The issue is, of course, that there are powerful forces that, you know, are affected by this, and I don't mean that in some dark, nefarious way. It's just the reality is that you've got folks that are going to benefit, either hurt or benefit,
yeah, the pluses
depending
and minuses.
Upon where the point of taxation is calculated. And so, and they are more powerful voices in this than you or I.
Rats! KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, if somebody wants to get involved with this, it sounds like it's very at ground level right now. Call their soup, email you guys. I mean, how do they proceed?
Yeah, well, we're looking at, again, we have a report that's going to come back from staff to, you know, look at the issues around this, different sales tax or different tax revenue generating options of how to do it, different levels and the process and timeline for doing these. Anything that would have to go on the ballot for November is really pushed. You know, we really should have been looking at something like this last fall or last summer if we wanted to do it right, because once something gets formed up and put on the ballot, we're hands off. We can't advocate for it at that point, so we need to make sure it's framed up to be as receptive as possible for the community. But we will be certainly looking for input from folks about, we're looking at possibility of a sales tax measure. We've also talked about a excessive energy users tax, which would apply to grow houses. But that is a section of what's called a utility users tax, which would apply to everybody. And so we'd have to get that in place for
another ballot measure.
Either one would have to be a ballot measure. So we'd have to look at, we're going to probably look at both of these together, figure out if we want to move forward with. We'd already looked at the UUT and talked about, because of some of the difficulties with it, that we probably should be taking a longer term look at that. If we do the.
Because that's a huge investment, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a big cost that goes with it. And if we're doing it as an excessive energy users tax, like the city of Arcata has done, we would be planning, expecting, and hoping that it will be a declining revenue source. And so it becomes a matter of how much money do you want to pay to see your revenue source disappear? And if we're going to go through the effort of putting that together, do we also want to have a baseline utility users tax that's not limited only to the excessive users to create some ongoing revenue for public safety that won't decline?
So again, you're looking at a targeted, the 2/3 plus 1 rather than the 50%.
That was also not yet nailed down, but we were just recognizing that there's a lot more that has to go into a discussion about that, and so we're putting that further off to 2016. But we're still trying to see if we can pull something together for this November's ballot, but it's going to be quick, and so we would love to have input from anybody. Just call your supervisors, email us. I think we may have something on the Open Humboldt site, which is accessible through the county's website still, but let us know what you think.
2016, you'll be wearing your tennis shoes again by then.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to be running then. And that's always a good thing, to be having a tax measure when you're running.
Hey, yeah. You know. planning. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.